Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. Our learning this evening is sponsored L'Refuah Shleima of Zev Ben Leah, Dr. Zev Zelenko. If you're interested in sponsoring learning, please reach out to the Share Enjoyment team at shareenjoyment.com or calling 917-626-8306. Additionally, all of my learning is at L'Zeichen Nishmasli, Rabbi Mori Moshe David Ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac. So this week's Parsha, as we know, is the Parsha's Kisisa. It begins with taking a census of the Bnei Yisrael. The opening to Psukim by the Be'er Hashem of Moshe Lemur, and Hashem says to Moshe, saying, Kisisa es rosh Bnei Yisrael v'skudehem v'nasnu ish kolifir nafshei al Hashem v'skudehem v'lo yiyeh v'hem negev v'skudehem. Right, that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, when you wish to obtain the total amount of the Bnei Yisrael to make a census according to their numbers, each man shall give his personal redemption to Hashem when you count them, and there will not be a plague upon them when you count them. Of course, we learn from this a number of things, one of which is that we don't count people themselves, but we count rather chati shekel, as in time of the Beis Hamikdash, the half shekel, and which was used for the purchasing karbanos. Also, even today, when we are not zeicha, when we don't have the Beis Hamikdash standing, then we also don't count people as people. We count often based off of a pasuk, you know, that has 10 words, such as, or a bracha. I know some people say hamot, for example, because there's 10 words in that, or there's psukim. So we do what we can to ensure that we don't end up to count people as people, because that would result in a plague. So the Rashi, the first Rashi on the pasuk says on kisisa. That's the pasuk. It's the perek lamed pasuk yud beis. Kisisa is a lashon kabbalah kisargumu. As the targum uncle says, it's an expression of obtaining. And we find similarly lo sisa shmash shava, that you should not accept an inauthentic report. Although the Midrash Tanchuma elsewhere understands sisa here is an expression of raising, as it means in many other places, Rashi follows Onkelos's explanation, since it's close to the simple pshat of the pasuk, based off of the Mizrahi and the Gur Aryeh. And Rashi continues that when you wish to obtain the total number, so that that you know how many there are, don't count them by their heads, but rather you should count them as the chati shekel, and you shall count the shkalim, thereby know their number. Rashi is pointing out again that the pasuk should not be understood to mean that after you count them, each one gives a chati shekel as a personal kofir nafshei, a personal redemption, but rather that the counting should be carried out through the means of giving the chati shekel, as I mentioned before. And Rashi is explaining that the meaning of the word roish at the beginning of the pasuk is total, the total amount. And the Mizrahi explains that Rashi adds the word regarding the head count in order to point out that there's no specific obligation that the counting be done by each person giving a half shekel, but rather that the main point is that they should not be counted as a head count. And so therefore, if instead of a person counting, giving a chati shekel, that they give another kind of an object, and this way the total number is obtained, this is also permissible. And I mentioned again, today when we count for a minyan or for other purposes that we might need to count, we don't count people, we count other objects or psukim, or you know, some people count yarmulkes, whatever it might be. The reason, however, that they were commanded specifically to give the chati shekel in our pasuk was only because the shkalim were required for their silver bases. Again, they were used as what was for the construction of the Mishkan. Now, looking at the Midrash, Midrash Rabbah, it begins, Ki pasuk Rabbi Tanchuma bar Abba, Shadrich Agan Hasar, that this is how Rabbi Tanchuma, in his understanding, opened up his discourse in the first pasuk. He expounded based off of the pasuk in Shir Shirim, that is the from the seventh parak of Shir Shirim, pasuk Gimel, that says, Shadrich Agan Asahar al Yechter Meganev Bitnech Arameis Chitim Suga Shoshanim, that your navel is like a moon-shaped basin, and there's no mixed wine lacking, and your belly is like a sack of wheat, in a sense, with roses. And And all the other open discussions on our passage that apply here, everything is written in Psikta, in the section of the Arba Parshios. The Arba Parshios, the four Parshios that are read on the Shabbos before Pesach, are Shkalim, Zachar, Para, and Parsha Chodesh. The first one, Shkalim, consists of our passage here, beginning of Kisisa. Now, of course, this is not yet going to be the Arba Parshios. We still have another month now before Purim. I hope everyone had a Felechim Purim Katan, but we have another month before Purim, and then, of course, the Purim is 30 days before Pesach, so it is coming up soon. The Psikta expounds on all of the Arba Parshios, beginning with Shkalim, where it presents several openings or introductions to our passage here, Kisisa. In these openings, to which our Midrash is referring, could also be referring us to Midrash Tanchuma, not just Midrash Rabbah, but Midrash Tanchuma as well, which contains even more opening discourses to our passage. I should mention also that our Midrash doesn't actually go through and quote the entire Midrash Tanchuma, but it does mention it, as I mentioned. Okay. So the Midrash goes on to say, in addition to what we mentioned previously, that there's another exposition, explanation of the pasuk. Amar lo yakadosh baruch hu, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe chayizin li Yisrael mar shalavu himenu. Moshe, Yisrael is obligated to repay me for what they borrowed from me. That is what they owe me. Now Hashem had a debt, so to speak, to collect from Yisrael after the chet ha'egel, it's in the golden calf. Which the Midrash here maintains, as several others do, that our passage is regarding the Chati Shekel chronologically following the Chet Ha'egel, which is actually recorded later, that becoming a subject of punishment for the Chet is compared to having a financial obligation as a result of borrowing money. In fact, the word, the Hebrew word Chiyav or Chayiv, means both liable for punishment as well as financially liable. Okay. So the Midrash continues, Shenemar ki sisa kama desema ki tase berecha. That our pasuk alludes to this, where it says, for it is stated in the pasuk when you should take it as a census ki sisa, which can be interpreted on the lines that was just stated elsewhere, when you make a loan ki sisa, you make any amount of your fellow. This we see in Devarim, Perek Chaf Dalid, Pasuk Yud, and the full Pasuk, just to say, it's in Kisisa Ve'erecha Meshaz Be'uma Lo Savo El Beso La'avit Avoisoim, when you should lend your fellow an item, you should not enter his home to take his security, to take his deposit. The verb sase, translated here as to make a loan, has no exact English equivalent. It indicates that someone, usually a creditor, causes someone else who's usually a borrower to owe him money. The Midrash therefore homiletically interprets our pasuk expression of ki sisa as if it was written as ki sase, when you should cause others to owe. So Hashem, by telling Moshe Rabbeinu ki sisa tase es rosh b'nei Yisrael, means therefore that Moshe was to make the b'nei Yisrael aware of the fact that they owed a debt, so to speak, to Hashem for the chet ha'egel. Okay. Back to the Midrash, says Emor lehem shiyifru ma shehem chayavim li. Hashem continued, tell the b'nei Yisrael that they should pay me what they owe me. Have ki sisa, since it says, when you make a census, kisisa of the B'nai Yisrael, which can also be interpreted to mean, when you inform the B'nai Yisrael that they are indebted to me, every man shall give a Kodesh Baruch Hu, kofer nafsho, an atonement for his soul, his neshama, so that they will not be a plague among them. The Midrash therefore sees the payment of the Chati Shekel by each member of B'nai Yisrael as a kofer nafsho, as an atonement for his neshama, for the Chet Ha'egel, in lieu of the plague or destruction that they should rightfully have deserved. The Midrash characterizes the chatzi shekel donations as a repayment of a debt, as I mentioned. It doesn't say whether this debt came due now, just as a census was being initiated, but presumably, I would say that it was because the Torah itself makes clear there was a risk that the census could trigger a plague. What, though, was the nature of this debt? Why did the census make repaying so urgent? And why should counting Jewish people expose the plague? Zubin the Magid, I should mention, as much as my last name is Zubin, I am not aware of a familiar relation with the Zubin the Magid, but there might be. Zubin the Magid sheds some light on these issues. He begins by reflecting the famous Mishnaic statement that to all B'nai Yisrael have a share in Olam Haba, as it says in the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, or the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin also, that, and your people are all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever. This statement seems to guarantee a share in Olam Haba, the world to come, without requiring us to earn the privilege with a lifetime of good deeds. But if so, asked the Midrash Shmuel at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, what motivates a Jew to devote himself to Avodat Hashem if the ultimate reward is assured before we even start? And a similar question can be asked about the about Gaulus, about exile. Many of the classic Mefarshim portray the Gaulus as a prison in which we are confined until we do tshuva, we mend our ways. On the other hand, the Nevi'im repeatedly assure us that the Gaulus is not open-ended. There is an end in sight. At some point, it will run its course and will be redeemed. We'll get to Geula. Why then should we feel compelled to do tshuva if we could just wait out the hard times, and enjoy the Geula all the same? The answers to this question lie in two ways that a nation can be viewed. One is as a unified body, and the second as an amalgam of individuals. To illustrate this difference, we might imagine a community with public and private assets. If the communal fund is full but private income is lacking, then the community is rich, but the individuals in the community are poor. No one citizen would boast as being wealthy based on the robust state of the community's finances. In the same way, the B'nai Yisrael have a fund of public assets, including a promise of Geula from Margolis and a guaranteed place in Olam Haba. But no single Jew, no single individual has an automatic claim on these benefits. Only those who prove themselves worthy will be allowed to take part in them. What emerges here is that the B'nai Yisrael are perceived and judged on two different levels. One is as the national level, the other is the individual level. Since individual people are often deficient in terms of their moral obligations, Yisrael will always be considered more worthy and distinguished when it's viewed on a national level. It's this perspective that Shlomo HaMelech sings in the loving esteem in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds the B'nai Yisrael, portraying the house of Israel, the base Yisrael, as a beautiful dwelling in which Hashem proudly sets himself up as master in the first parak of Shir Shirim. But for this perspective to prevail, the B'nai Yisrael as people must be bound together and united as they were in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. During Gaulus, when we're scattered throughout the world and dispersed among the many nations, we can be viewed only as individuals, and our status has, Rahman al-Salam, unfortunately, declined accordingly. This fragmentation of our people has other consequences as well. Consider that a person of a modest means obtains a large supply of lumber to build a house. First, he purchased 10 boards on credit from one neighbor. Then he did the same thing with another until he was able to erect to build a very nice mansion. Before long, of course, it was time to repay his suppliers, but the deadline passed, and he failed to meet his obligations. The creditors have the right to dismantle the building and take back the boards. It stands to reason that they don't. But if the builder himself decides to renovate the house and proceeds to dismantle it for that purpose, then the creditors would be perfectly justified in seizing the opportunity in recovering their individual board. The same guidelines apply to B'nai Yisrael, and herein lies the danger of taking a census. As private individuals, we are deeply in debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of our many failings, our many averas. Our saving grace, so to speak, is that we are not just individuals. We are building blocks of a great unified nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treasures as his chosen people. When we present ourselves as a nation, we create a synthesized whole whose eminence and splendor overshadow the imperfections found in the individual constituent parts. Taking a census, however, means breaking down the nation into shvatim, into households, into families, and of course into individuals. This process causes each of us to stand on his or her own, shifting the focus from the global whole of B'nai Yisrael to the individual person. When this happens, we're exposed to scrutiny by the heavenly prosecutors who are eager to collect our outstanding debt. To ward off this danger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to conduct the census through the means of the Chatzi Shekel and donations. As Midrash explains, these donations were intended to serve in place of payment of our actual debt and would therefore protect us from harm. Now we can proceed to the obscure conclusion that the Midrash says that Hashem said to Moshe, I will pay them back, as it says from the pasuk in Hosea, and the number of B'nai Yisrael will be like the sand in the sea. This is the second parak of Sefer Hosea. In other words, there will come a time when B'nai Yisrael will be able to undergo a census without recourse to special protective measures. In that future era, each and every one of us will be a tzaddik and worthy of his or her own right, and will be even more esteemed than he was the entire nation in a less glorious past. Not only will the B'nai Yisrael of that era be immune to the designs of the Satan, they will actually be better appreciated under the spotlight of a census, because the extra exposure will underscore the perfection and reveal them in all their beauty and glory. In Hosea Hanavi's prophecy, which continues, instead of it being said to them, you are not my people, that is, whereas in the past, as individuals, you didn't want to appear as beautiful, as worthy as my unified people, henceforth, in the future, it will be said to them, B'nai Yisrael, the children of the living God, for at that time, even single individualized Jews singled out by counting in the process will be recognizable as noble and unblemished children of God. And so I think this is an important idea to keep in mind, as every idea is important, obviously, that we are a nation of individuals, but we are one unified nation. I think I mentioned this a week or two ago as well, this idea that we're judged in many ways as individuals, but in many ways as the unified whole. And each one of us needs to do our part as part of the nation, but we don't stand out as individuals, amidst Hashem, until the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines that that's the best way for us to be judged. So we're judged as a community, even though we are each individual part of the community who have our own roles in the community, at which we can benefit and cause others to benefit. But as far as the judgment of the nation, we are, Baruch Hashem, at this point in time, not judged as individuals, because our own individual merits are not there yet, but as a whole nation. And Amir Tashem, when Mashiach comes, when we are sent to Argu Ulishlema, the ultimate and complete redemption, then we will be judged as individuals, because that will be better even than a collective whole, at least in many regards. But I think this is a complicated perhaps to think about, but it's an important idea to keep in mind as we do our best to get to the Geula Shleima in Herabi Aminu. I wish everyone a good Shabbos. Zayge Bench.